You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Of the fan podcast series, Steve and Chris, the loyal fan. You know, we're going to do this. I can't wait to do this topic. I've been itching. You can ask Chris, man. I've been itching to do this one. We might have to make this a trilogy, man. A trilogy. Chris, man, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All right, bro. Just a tough day today, but, you know, I'm home now, and I'm ready to, you know, give and take with the king of all podcasts. The inimitable Bleed Blue boss, you know, Steve Blair himself. So, you know, it's all good to me right now. I'm in heaven. It's gravy.
Yeah, tonight, this evening's topic is the loyal fan, the loyal fan. You can always check our archives for previous podcasts of the bandwagon fan and also the diehard fan and also future podcasts of how we dissect the fan from all angles on the Bleed Blue show. Steve and Chris style. So without further ado, let's get into it right now with the loyalty of the loyal fan. So what is a loyal fan to you, Chris? And then, you know, I got so many aspects and questions to go with this.
Loyal fan. Well, let's check out the history of loyal fans. You know, like, as you know, baseball, football, and to a lesser degree, basketball all started with, you know, small localities. You know, if you ever look, like, for instance, at the history of the NFL, you'll see that they started in places. There were teams called the Decatur Staleys. A lot of people don't even know where Decatur is in Illinois. And that was George Halas' team that he turned into the Chicago Bulls. Bears later when he got a little bit more change up, and it was during the formative years of the NFL. So you started with places like Sheboygan was in the NBA and, you know, and Cooperstown. These places that no one ever heard of except the fact that they have Hall of Fames there, you know. And the reason that there's Hall of Fames there is that they started off in really small municipalities. And what happens there, if you've got a team from your neighborhood that is participating in a league, in any sport, and they're doing very well, or they're known for being gritty, or they have the identity of the town like a lot of the Boston teams used to have or the Chicago teams had, you know, then – what happens is, from there, you build a fan base. You don't know you're doing this if you're a franchise. I mean, if you're a team, you build a following, and your following they're like groupies, and they are do or die. And what happens is, throughout the years, as the years go on, and the decades, and technology and money and just exposure, as that goes on and on and on, you find yourself. I don't know, let's take Seattle, for instance, you know, with, 80,000 strong every Sunday in the wintertime being dieheartedly loyal. They're all wearing the colors. They're all buying in. They have knowledge of the players, the teams, the coaches, the personnel, the history. They are loyal. Now, diehard is different. Diehard is like, okay, I just moved here to Seattle from, I don't know, Arizona. So, I like the city. I like the way the fans act, and I'm gonna jump on and I'm gonna try to be a Seattle fan. Well, no, that's not the same. That's not diehard yet. You have no knowledge there's no legacy love that you have. You're kind of like mini bandwagon a bit. Not that you're fake, but you just got here. A loyal fan is someone who is diehard, who has been there from the beginning, that knows every nook and cranny of the stadium, that reads the blogs and the newspapers, and they know the players. They know the game. There used to be a time when I was a kid, Steve, that when we go to Madison Square Garden, the Knicks would have this play where, let's say, Willis Reed would get an offensive rebound, and he'd swing it to the right-hand corner. He swings to the right-hand corner to Barnett. I mean, left-hand corner. Barnett would throw it to the left wing over to DeBuscher, who would swing it over to to Bradley to his left, and he would, Frazier to his left, and then he'd swing it directly to the left-hand corner where Bradley was open for Jay. Now, as this was happening, you would hear the garden just, you know, sort of swoon without anticipation, like, they knew the play. They knew the beat. Mm-hmm. They knew,
yes.
They bought into it. And as soon as Bradley was safe that day, it was pandemonium.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They were loyal. They die into the entire embodiment of that particular basketball team. It's part of your fabric. For me, it's the New York Knicks and the New York Giants, probably, more than anybody else. I love the Yankees, too. But if I had to give my love, if they were all drowning, you know, I'd have to pull my sleeve up a little bit and have to dig in that water and grab the Knicks first. You know why? Because I am loyal. And that's what I'm the embodiment of a loyal fan. There are a lot of people that don't understand that situation. They'll say, well, I'm a fan of Amari Stoudemire, you know. And I liked him when he was with the Knicks, but now he left the Knicks. I don't cheer for the Knicks anymore. Well, then you're not a loyal fan of anybody. You can you can like a player all you want to, but you can't be a loyal fan. You can, when it comes to sports,
yeah, sports,
or collegiate. When it comes to sports, it matters what team you root for, not what player you root for. That's an individual. Mm-hmm. You can do that all day long in track, boxing. Speed skating, downhill racing, you can do it all day there. But when it comes to team sports, you root for the team. You don't follow LeBron around from Cleveland to Miami and back to Cleveland like you're a rock groupie.
Understood. Mm-hmm.
So that's me. I'm sorry I gave you an elongated answer, sir, but that's when you say loyal.
This is why we break it down the way we do a Bleed Blue Show style, Chris. You pretty much touched on a lot of points I'm going to bring at, and then we're going to go little by little on the breakdown of a loyalty fan. First of all, let me get my two cents in.
Okay.
First of all, these fans are not loyal. These fans not loyal.
Not at all.
That's number one. Okay, we'll get with that. Now, let's go by the book, okay? By the book.
Okay.
What's the definition of loyalty? Well, loyalty is the quality of being loyal to someone or something. A strong feeling of support or allegiance. So then when you get the definition of a fan, basically a person who cheers for the person or team with no return on investment financially. The key words, no return on investment financially. So the only return on investment for the fan is pretty much is emotional satisfaction, gratitude of winning.
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because they want to feel the joy of winning so they can brag to fans of other fan bases on their successes and rejoicing and cheer with their own fan base. That's why we are fans.
Why? Because they're loyal. Because they're loyal.
We have a lot of material to cover as far as we may have to, you know, going to do the trilogy thing on it. Because I know you're busy. Man, I got that.
To me, Chris,
there's six levels of fanship when it comes to team sports.
All right.
The top level, the top dog fan is the diehard fan, hands down.
Yep.
A close second, in my opinion, the close second to the diehard fan, number two, is the season ticket holder fan. After him...
Okay.
Or her, however you want to look at it. Third is this tonight's topic, the loyalty fan, the loyal fan. And then after the loyal fan is the general casual fan. And then the most newest of fan after the general casual fan on the tier of fanship, after the general casual fan is the social media fan. We're going to do that on a future podcast. May need like 3 hours on that alone. So we're going to have to explain that. And the last one, and we discussed it on a prior podcast, the bandwagon fan, to me, is the lowest of low fan that exists. So you would ask, okay, I have to go through the first two tiers of fanships so I can explain what a loyal fan is. So we discussed Die Hard Fan. You can check out that podcast in the archives, iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in. Die Hard Fan. You can Google search it. Basically, in a nutshell, is Die Hard Fan is the one primarily roots for one team and one team only. Mm-hmm. He can have multiple teams, but primarily usually roots for one team only, like whether it's the Knicks only, the Green Bay Packers only, just one team, and that's all he knows. That's the only team he knows is that one team. Win, lose, or draw, he is all in. All right? All in. That fan will compromise, you know, you said it before, Chris, he will compromise his marriage to be in attendance for a game, you know?
Right.
That's the diehard fan. To me, the next level after that is the season ticket fan. He's the person who puts up his money. He takes whatever he does for a living. All that disposable income or whatever he earns, it goes right back into PSLs, tickets, going to the game, buying tickets. So basically, money is not an excuse for that fan. Basically, he's always going to the games. That's the season ticket fan. He's probably has a lot of the tendencies of the diehard fan. And then also the loyal fan is pretty much he has the tendencies of a diehard fan or the season ticket fan. But in this one, this is where I am more – that's why I call myself a loyal fan. I'm a loyal fan. Because why? Because I can have fans in each league, whether it's baseball, basketball. Mm-hmm. One team per sport, though, basically. And that's why we Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers for me.
Right.
Or you could be whether in Philly or Boston, whatever teams, whatever.
Well, no. You got them all from the same region, so that to me counts as highly loyal.
I got questions for that too later on. we might have to address it in part two, depending on the time. But this type of fan, the loyal fan, he's all into one team per league per sport. No, there's no two teams in that same sport. None of that. Also, he's counted a lot of years in that for that team. So he's been a Knicks fan for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever. But it has to be at least 10 years to me. You can't be loyal after 3-5 years. That's not going to fly in my book.
Right.
No way. Hell no.
Okay.
But then,
well,
but
you know,
loyal,
that's a little bit of a
loyalty
there, though, sir.
Say
what? That's on the curve a little bit sometimes.
Fair enough. It's definitely on the curve.
Okay.
But the key about the loyal fan is the loyalty is tested over time, i.e. if you've been a Knicks fan for like 40 years, 25 years, and you're still watching the games in 2015, as bad as they've been, win, lose, or draw, that's loyalty right there. You're not turning off the TV as bad as they've been. That's the loyalty of being emotionally invested in the team, win, lose, or draw. It's actually putting up the money from time to time to go watch the teams play, whether they're winning or losing. That's the loyal fan. They're a couple of notches under the diehard and season ticket fan. That's where I rank the loyal fan, you know?
Okay. Gotcha.
So,
all right. So, basically, the highest of your tier is the wife. And the second one is the occasional girlfriend. And the third one is the one that you see on a time-to-time basis. And the fourth one, the lowest of the lowest that you talked about, the despicable one you can't stand, is the one that only come around when she wants the money.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you said.
Basically.
I totally agree with. No, I really don't. I mean, that's basically what it is. And I accept that. Okay, all right. And there will be nothing more hideous to me than the one who just puts on. I'm gonna let you take this one, but because you touched on it already, and that is, and I'm playing devil's advocate here from the aspect of comedy almost. But what's wrong with the guy who follows the team around? Follows the players around that jump from team to team to team to team to team. Is he – what kind of fan is he to you?
I would put him in my tiers of fanship, I would probably throw him or her in the general casual fan category. Basically, he's probably a fan of the sport, watches the individual player, even if it's a team sport. He doesn't really have a rooting interest if the team wins or loses – but he's just more invested in the team. That's more of a general casual fan. You know what a perfect example of the general casual fan? We'll do that in the future. It's kind of like your fantasy sports fan. You know, that's kind of changed the dynamic of sports too, where you pick individual players from a draft and you probably go to the sports bar to watch individual players perform, not necessarily caring if the team wins or not, you know?
Right. Gotcha. I totally agree with that too.
So that I would put that type of fan in that category. I think somewhere the general casual fan and the social media fan is neck and neck, depending on what you're talking about. There's pros and cons for each, but they're somewhere in the same middle. But they're not higher. They're underneath the loyal fan. Absolutely.
Got it. All right. Because that's the kind of fan that I can't actually stand. I'm sorry.
Please expand on that. Why you can't stand that fan?
Because if I'm a fan, if I am a New York Knickerbocker fan, okay, and you were always, maybe you weren't even a fan at all. Maybe you just came out of nowhere. Let me not use this person. Let me use another person. Let's say you were a Phoenix Suns fan. Hold on. Let me get another team. Let me get a team that I'm not invested in. Let's try Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic. You're a Orlando Magic fan. You've been a Orlando Magic fan for 10 years.
Okay.
But now you're in New York. You live in this region, and so you feel privileged, and I'm put that in parentheses, to just go ahead and root for them because you're here. And all of a sudden you're buying the gear and all of this. You're trying to impress and try to fit into the landscape of what we do over here.
Yep.
Well, I don't have no love for you, man.
Okay.
I really don't, because you're fake. You're not doing it because you really enjoy what the team has to offer. You're doing this because you're trying to blend in, and you have no vested interest. You're just trying to join the club. And instead of asking the pertinent questions like how long have you had this guy, how many games are we out, asking the sports questions. Instead of doing that, your own interest is to blend in and be part of the crew. I'm sorry, I don't think that's a good fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great fan is the one, and I'm gonna go back to this again until I beat it in the head. Is that fan who every day, the first thing he wants to see when he opens up the sports pages is how his team did last night. Who scored what? Who got injured? Who got cut? Why did they call a timeout then? Oh, man, you mean they got him back to clean up? Why? He's no good. Man, they just sit this guy down because he's not playing right. Why did they even go ahead and draft this dude? You know? All the questions that make me know, that let me know that you really, really are loyal. Minimum loyal to what we do here.
Yep.
And if you don't, then I have no respect for that kind of fan. You know, on social media, let's go back to that for a second. On social media, I had a big issue, as you did last year, with some people who insisted that they were diehard fans when in reality they didn't have a vested interest in the team of the sport of the gut person they were rooting for.
Understood.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. That means you're not a fan. Why are you watching the game then?
well, they're a fan, but they're just a social media fan. If you want me, I can give you my definition of what a social media fan is, because we are going to tackle that in the future. Absolutely. Basically, that's the person who promotes, meaning promoting is in quotes, a person who promotes self-loyalty of a person or team. So that's the key word, promotes. Why? Because that's the fan who wears the team colors in their photos of their profile. Or they decorate their page in team colors online to give you that perception that they are a fan, when they may be a fan. But their makeup is the presence of the social media fan is more about quantity of trying to convince you of how loyal they think they are, or they have a perception of loyalty because they wear the team colors and post it online and on the internet. But in reality, the loyal fan, a true loyal fan, is actually on the forefront. He goes to the games. He buys tickets to go to the games. He's not sitting at home in the living room doing selfies with New York Yankee or New York Giant hats on, trying to convince the world that he's really a loyal or diehard fan, but they're just doing it because it's convenience, you know?
Gotcha. That's how I feel about it as well. I think
that's a 21st century thing. That never existed prior to, I don't know, 2005. This is a 21st century fan. This is new. So we have to really split, you know, we have to split out categories, because a lot of people believe they're fans, they're diehards. In reality, they never been to the games, they don't go. And that's where you have to say, wait a minute, hold on. You're not really a fan per se. You're a fan, but you're not on the forefront at minimum as a loyal fan. That's my opinion. I stick by that.
Steve, I used to hear things like, well, I like his commercial, so I'm a fan of his.
That's a joke.
You can't be a fan. That doesn't work. That's an impossibility. It doesn't work that way. You have to really – I don't have to do anything. Yes, you do. Then don't call yourself a fan. Don't answer on the blogs. Don't pretend that you really care.
Yeah.
When in reality, you don't. And you don't. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, so that's you know, it's a big – the reason this topic is near and dear to my heart is because this is the big age of sports right here, you know, where you know, again, the commercialization and the, you know, the exposure is at its all-time high. And, you know, people see that and they think they're sports fans because they like a product. And that's some of that is Madison Avenue's fault, you know. But for the most part, you know, real sports fans, you can go to a bar, like for instance in New York City, and you will hear, "Come on, Yankees! Come on, Yankees!" And it's like in December.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
But 20 guys are there in the off season doing that, and they mean it. They're really into their team. They care. Why? Because they're so loyal and so invested in what their team is about that they do it, that they worship year round. They don't have one foot on the kingdom and one foot off. They are there. That to me is a loyal fan. You know, I mean, just because Jeter retired, they didn't say, "Oh well, you know, we have shortstop roles, and I don't know if I can be a fan anymore if he's not here." They don't do that. But yet you do have fans that say, "Well, Derek Jeter's not playing no more? Oh, okay. Well, I'm not really interested in baseball."
That's terrible.
Did that mean you wasn't a fan to begin with then?
You were more of a general casual fan. Maybe bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Borderline bandwagon at that point.
Right.
Now, Chris, I got a couple questions for you, and it's about your fanship with the teams that you cheer for. So the Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, and I'll even throw in the Rangers. For each team, as the fan that you are, for each team, which era has tested your loyalty for each team, the Knicks, Giants, Yankees, if you want to do the Rangers, which era tested your loyalty for each of those teams? So we can really give you examples of how you
I'll give
felt.
You all the New York teams for that. I'll give you all the New York teams for that. I was the MSO. Oh, start with the Knicks.
Yeah, let's start with the
last 10 years, the Isaiah era really tested me because I didn't know if it was going to get any better. I didn't know. I felt that he was going to be in charge for maybe close to 25 years. I thought they would never move him. And I said, "Oh man, this is not good. I love this team. I love this franchise. I love the legacy. But what are they doing?" So they tested me. That was a test. Who's next? Who you got next?
Let's go with the Yankees.
I was never tested with the Yankees. I was a Yankee.
Never.
Nah, no, never. Because let me tell you, I was a fan of the Yankees. I started being a fan of the Yankees in 1965. That's 50 years ago. So when I was 5 years old, yep. I had an Elston Howard glove. And everybody was telling me that he was the man, he was the first black star of the Yankees, and that's the guy that you should cheer for. So I said, okay, cool. And then from there, that was it. I mean, they've had ups and downs. They had some strange years, Steinbrenner acting crazy. But for the most part, I don't think I ever really left them. I think I was there the whole time. I'm an old Channel 11, Frank Messer, Bill White, and Phil Rizzuto guy.
WPIX.
You know, I'm from WPIX. I'm that dude. So I'm the kid with the ravioli watching the Yankee game, watching them beat the Indians up, you know, something like that. Sparky Lauze. So I'm from that era. That's my crew. So no, I've never really jumped off the Yankee. I was always a Yankee. Always.
So they never tested your loyalty.
Never.
Any downtimes or nothing. Okay. What about the
Giants?
Go with the Yankees. Go ahead.
No. The downtimes for the Yankees were the early 80s. Dave Winfield, just before Mattingly got there, but after Reggie Jackson left era. You know, Steinbrenner got suspended, and we had about eight different managers in 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, let's put it this way. We had eight different managerial changes in 2 years, but – three of the changes was Billy Martin coming with the going. So it wasn't really that much of a stretch. During that time,
for the record, I think you've clarified with me offline before. So your loyalty was never tested because you know big at that time was the Mets too in the mid 80s where they were pretty much on the verge.
Right.
Should have won multiple championships, dynasties. So you never jumped to the Mets. As bad as the Yankees were in the early 80s.
Now, wait a minute. Here's the thing. Okay. Here's what made you're in basketball. We're talking basketball. Now, let me explain this. There's a fine line, and you may have difficulty with this explanation, but here I go. The Mets were in the National League, and the Yankees was in the American League, and I knew they'd never play each other, except for that Mayor's thing every year, which was for charity. So I didn't root it like that. You know, in my mind, just like every other New Yorker, we knew that they wasn't going to meet each other in the World Series at the same time. That was just believe it or not,
okay.
that was the common thinking. They would never see each other. So, for me, in New York, you have to understand the climate. Okay, in the early 80s, yes, mm-hmm. You love the Yanks, you love to stand by them, but the Mets over there winning, and the Mets had. Here's the thing. I probably wouldn't have really cheered as hard as – I think I'm pretty general in this explanation. I think everybody felt this way. I wouldn't have cheered for the Mets as tough. I probably would have said good for them and their success. You know, cool. But the Mets of that team, of that era, had a personality. They were tough. They were very angry. They wanted to fight all the time. Mm-hmm. They were gritty. And – that embodiment that they had made people fall in love with them. So, yes, you did have – and they happened to start – that team happened to start to blossom the very same time as WWE came out. So, from a sports perspective, it was almost – or what do you call it? WrestleMania. So, from a sports perspective, people liked that edge.
Yes.
And the Mets were the edgiest team there was, the Strawberries,
okay.
Ray Knight teams. You know, they were – they were really, really edgy. So being edgy, I was a fan of. So, yes, I did root for them. But I didn't root for them with the intent of saying, okay, you know, of course, screw the Yankees. It was never like that because you knew you was going to be a Yankee fan forever. To me, it was a temporary fix. It was like, okay,
you had like a general fan tendencies for the Mets. But you was more loyal to the Yankees. You didn't really care yay or nay for the Mets at the time, but it was just like, oh, well, if they won, cool, that's good for the city, but I'm still Yankee no matter how you look at it.
That was me. Exactly. That's exactly how I would put
that.
So
for the record, the 2000 Subway Series, it was all Yankees, though, not the Mets, right?
Yeah, I was a Yankee.
The 6 train, not
yes.
the 7.
actually, no, that's right. I was... I didn't look at it that way. Yeah, I was in the seventh. The funny thing is, I was staying at my pop with my pops at the time, and he lived in Hollis, Queens.
Yeah.
And so I came to New York. I came back to New York to visit, and so I had to stay with him and cheer for the Yankees. He's like, "What the hell are you doing?" Because yeah. He's a diehard Mets fan. So.
4, 5, 6, 7 is all those strings. What about the Giants?
Yeah.
The football Giants. What was the? Was it the '70s for you? Was it the '90s?
I don't know. If that's a good question, Steve. I
why not?
That team. Oh, because I never left them. That was my team. It's my team now. It was my team then. No, I don't really.
All the bad times. So
when the
Giants were whenever they were losing, I mean, there were the times that they made you turn off the TV. They even made you throw out the TV out the window.
Oh,
I mean, there was not even a time.
I'm
not saying jumping ship, but what era that pissed you off, but it tested your loyalty is the question.
I wouldn't say they pissed me off because when I discovered the Giants, they were mediocre, and that
okay.
was 60. They were 68, and they stayed mediocre forever until Phil Simms got there. They started to get interested. That's 79. When he came, they passed up. This is what happened. I always accepted because I'm gonna answer the question in the abstract way. The Giants had always. From when I discovered them, they always sucked. They always sucked. Okay? But what happened was, in the first round of 70, and I was a Street and Smith football, all sports kind of guy, right? Sporting news, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And what happened is, in 79, they chose, they needed a running back. And they chose Phil Simms. I'm like, wait a minute, Phil Simms from Moorhead State. And I looked, and he was like the third-rated quarterback coming out. And no, Moorhead State didn't really play anybody. Played a bunch of Division II teams. And I was like, why did they go ahead and do that? This is a typical Giants. They're always doing stupid stuff like that, you know. But then I found out the very same season during preseason that the new coach of the 49ers, Bill Walsh, was pissed that he couldn't get Phil Simms, so he was relegated to just picking a quarterback in the third round, some dude from Notre Dame named Joe Montana.
Yeah, the rest is history.
So I was like, okay, this is interesting. So what are we going to do? Sarchik is gone. What are we going to do? And they started another guy. I can't remember who it is. I think his name is Johnson. They started another guy for maybe the first 10 games of the year. And our coach was named Ray Perkins. And this is important. This is to your question. Ray Perkins didn't like to play rookies, right? But whoever the quarterback was got hurt, so he was forced to put Simms in for the last four games. And Simms won. And he started to capture the imagination of the public.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh, okay, wait a minute. Is the possibility the Giants could actually be a contender? And then he screwed up the next year, but Simms looked good. Then the next year after that, LT came, and then things started going a little nuts then. You know, we made the playoffs we backed into the playoffs and finally made it after 12 years. And then we beat San Francisco in them, who were the defending champions. And, you know, Roddy Lott being frustrated all afternoon by some receiver. I can't remember his name right now. It'll come to me in a minute. And then I started going, okay, wait a minute. And after that, I never lost my loyalty.
Okay.
Back up. Let me say it like this. My loyalty was solidified. My loyalty was solidified.
Makes sense.
So,
I got you.
Okay, yeah. So I've never really jumped, really was pissed at them because they sucked from jump. They were terrible. From 69 to really 81. And then they picked a coach nobody heard of. Some dude named Parcells. They were like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
And the whole sentiment of the city was, what is he going to do? And so I laughed. I was with everybody else. And then look what happened. So, no, it's never – see, that's my team right there. That's the team I met you on, kind of, sort of. You know,
that's
the team that, for me, means – oh, God, I just have this a love for them, man. It's crazy just to see the blue uniforms, regardless of era. And it goes back to your loyalty question. You know, it's the uniform. It's what they stand for. It's the legacy. It's the Mara family who never sold out, if you know what I'm saying by that. That's another show, another time, but they never kowtowed to LSO politics. In fact, they built them. So, you know, my loyalty was never tested by them. If I was tested by any New York team, it was definitely the New York Rangers. And it's a problem.
Oh, why the Rangers?
Okay, I was a loyal Ranger in the early 70s. Even though they wasn't winning titles, the Rangers had their team was dynamite. They was winning 44 games a year. They had a one particular line. They called it the GAG line, Goal of Game. Mm-hmm. That was Clark Gillies, Roger Bear, and Vic Hatfield. We had a lights out goddamn goaltender named Eddie Jockerman. We had a nasty defenseman who was great named Brad Park. I'll never forget it. And he was like an all-star every year. But what happened was, in 74, we're playing the Flyers in the conference finals.
Yep.
The Broad Street Bullies. And they had a goddamn goon named Dave Schultz, one of the all-time goons, right?
Well, that guy used to stick up for Bobby Clark. I know you're talking about.
That's right. And Rick McLeish and everybody else, Bill Barber and everybody else that was on that team.
Yes.
So then what happened was we had a right winger named Dale Org. And Dale Org and Dave Schultz got tangled up. And that was one of the days where there wasn't just one single fight. They were like melees if you hated each other through proximity. In other words, Montreal and Boston had their issue. Us and Philly had our issue, even though Philly was a expansion team. You know, Toronto and Vancouver had their issue. You know, everybody had their little individual battles with people. Well, we had a fight in 74, 41 mm-hmm. years ago. I'll never forget it. I see it clearly in my mind right now. And Dave Schultz and Dale Orr got into it, and not one Ranger came to his defense. They sat there and they watched Dale Orr get pummeled to death. It got to the point where the announcers, who were named Sal Marciano and Ted Lindsay, was like, "Hey, stop this! Hey, what's going on? Hey, Rangers!" It was terrible. He got pummeled to death. And Dave Schultz, you know, he was kowtowing to the Philly crowd because it was at the Spectrum. And at a certain point, Dave Schultz looked at, you know, beat Dale Orr to the ground, and they sure sort of looked up at the ref like, "Hey, you want me to continue to kick this motherfucker on my skate?" That kind of thing. And so, and the Rangers just sat there. They sat there on the bench and they said, "We ain't doing it. We ain't jumping in." And Emil Francis was our coach at the time. And my hatred towards Emil Francis and the blue liners and the boys in blue shirts just changed. It blossomed from there, and I couldn't stand it. So the next year, I mean not the next year, there was a 2-year team at that time in the National Hockey League called the Islanders, and I switched my allegiance to them because I couldn't stand that.
Oh, you did what?
I sure did. I temporarily hold it. I temporarily because they're another thorn in my side. That was like 12
team?
Years later.
Oh no!
No. There wasn't the Boston team yet. Was there. Okay. Papa was the only star we had. Papa was it. You know, Denny Papa, because he was the number one player in the draft. Of course, you know, you get him, and that's it. The Boston teams were years later, man.
Yep.
Bossy and Golly, everybody on that team, you know, you remember.
Oh,
that.
But not to digress you real quick, so I'll let you get back to your points. But when those teams, those Islander teams, was winning pretty much back-to-back in the late 70s, early 80s, did you thought about jumping ship at the time with your loyalty with the Rangers?
Did you think about it? All the games. I went to the 81 finals. I think it was 81.
Okay.
No, it wasn't 81. It had to be 84. Whenever we beat Gretzky, maybe 84, 83. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, one of those times. I'm thinking it was really good.
Because the next year, Gretzky beat us. Him and Mark Messier and all of them.
Yeah,
something like that. But I had to leave them because for me, it was more than sports. You know, I'm from Hollis, Queens. You don't let your little brother get pummeled by the bully and think that's going to be a lesson. you know, and even though I have a little brother, but you know, you get the analogy. And yeah, I was like, that was pretty much it for me, man. I just couldn't stand that from a human perspective. They sat there calmly, tying their laces, just looking as if they were fans at Org getting beat up. And Org wasn't a goon.
Mm-hmm.
And that just didn't settle with me. So I was pretty much done with them. And I went to school the next day, and I told everybody I'm through with them. And everybody, to my shock and surprise, I didn't get a lot of resistance. They were like, nah. You know, we're talking, and one of them had a little, who was he a fan of? Maybe Roger Bash. No, golly. I can't remember. He was Steve Vickers. He had a Steve Vickers jersey on. And they were like, I hear what you're saying. You know, they really didn't give me that much stuff, man. You know, it is so funny, man, because I'm looking back and I wish I had a capsule of that, Steve, because I could show Snapchat, so I could show everybody, you know, 25 black males with about 12, 13, 14 years old, all talking about being diehard Ranger fan, you know, in the early 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was kind of funny, but no, really, it was devastating to me for that to happen. I just really, it really messed with my psyche at that time. And it was easy for me to say, forget them, because that was the year, and no, wait. And back, and then, see, the thing is, I always tied the Knicks and the Rangers together because they were on the same station, same stadium, I mean, arena rather, same city.
Yep.
You know, they did things together. When one was on, the other one wasn't. They sometimes, on a Saturday, they shared the arena together. And right after that happened, then the Knicks season ended in Boston, and we had four retirees at once. You know, the Butcher, Lucas, Reed, and Barnett left at the same time.
Yep.
And I went, damn. You know, so it wasn't really a good feel, man. So that's my history on being loyal. The topic of this is loyal fans.
Loyalty,
and they tested
yep.
the loyalty.
Wow, they did, sure
it.
Did.
Because how can I be loyal to you if you weren't loyal to your own teammate with my thing? So that's where I was with that, man. But what we've been discussing thus far is what makes a loyal fan. And
yes.
So I was loyal to them up until then, and then I left them. The question is, has it been tested? I left them, and I came back when they were not so good. So to me, I think that's okay. Because it's sort of like a breakup with a girlfriend. You could come with, she may not be rich, she might be going to work every day, but guess what? You could talk to her now because she's not occupied, and you know, you have time, and maybe you could, you know, maybe you're grown enough to move on with whatever the old feelings were.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. That's how that was. Because you got to admit, being, especially where we're from, man, I mean, we're spoiled. We got two professional teams per sport, you know.
It's a total of nine in the whole metro, a total
right.
of nine. So
that's right. So we have this. And so we have a tendency to really root our hearts more than just our voices, you know. We love these guys. We love when they come out. We love when the ball rolls out. You know, it's tough, like, say, for a New York basketball fan right now, not because the Knicks are rebuilding, but because Brooklyn isn't winning. So now you don't have anything to cheer. You got to root for the Big East tournament.
You got to root and cheer for progress. That's the only thing you got really going on when the team is doing bad or looking forward to the draft. The draft,
right,
or your draft
right.
picks, who are you going to get in acquisitions and transactions?
exactly.
Man, if I had to pick an era – for the Knicks. Well, you know, I go through all four teams for me. The Knicks.
Go through all four.
Okay. I've been loyal all from day one. Never jumped ship.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about jumping ship. I may have, like I said earlier in the podcast, as far as the tendencies, I may like say, okay, well, I kind of like the style of the way this team plays, like team basketball, like the San Antonio Spurs. I like that. You know, I'd rather see them win than the Miami Heat. I got
I like the way they play basketball or the way they work as a team. I like that type of concept or philosophy, but I'm loyal to the Knicks. That's how I was trying to say it. Now, the era...
That's understandable. Totally understandable.
So, when it comes to the Knicks, like you said, those Isaiah Thomas teams was unwatchable, but this may be even worse. Now, the thing about with Phil is kind of more... you have time to re-steer the ship, per se. So when it comes to the Knicks, it was definitely those massive contracts with Jared Jeffries, Jerome James, Eddie Curry, Mike Sweetney, Othella Harrington. Those Knicks teams tested a lot of Knicks loyalty. There's a lot of Knicks fans who have left the bandwagon. They've jumped ship. They don't come back. They're gone. They lost their loyalty card. I held on to mine. Mine is kind of beat up and banged. The fine print is kind of faded away a little bit. It's there. Loyalty is there. Now the next team is a little bit tricky though. The Yankees, because I became a Yankee fan in like somewhere in the mid to late 80s. So I wasn't. You got to understand how it was back then, because a lot of those games were on Cablevision. A lot of those games, if you were watching the game at home, you watched it on Madison Square Garden Network. That's how I became a fan, starting, because my old man was a fan of all the teams I actually cheer for now. But back then, I used to always watch Knicks and Rangers on MSG, and before the Yankees were on YES, I was rooting for the Yankees. They were even on MSG, I believe, at the time, in WPIX. But
right.
Those Yankees teams, I actually got on at a good time when they're actually coming off those early 80s teams and the Mets were running stuff. I was kind of – I went to Yankee games at the old stadium, caught the Metro North, come down and watch the Yankees at the old stadium in the Bronx. That's the teams where they had, like, Don Mattingly, Mel Hall, Jesse Barfield, Steve Sachs, Roberto Kelly. I was on those teams. Those teams were really doing well at the time. The team that was running the AL East at the time, because remember, in the American League at the time, it was only two divisions. The team that was running stuff was Toronto. Toronto had the squad.
That's right.
Toronto had
a great squad.
Every time you play them, you got the stuff beaten out of you. But
man,
it
had
a quick turnaround, because after Martin was the manager, then Stump Merrill, then that's when Showalter came in, and that's before the strike. And then we'll get into that in part two of this fan series with the loyal fan, because of how strikes affect fanship and loyalty. We'll get into that in part two.
But
I didn't really have a lot of long time to suffer as a Yankee fan. They just weren't winning to the capability of those Oakland A teams, Cincinnati Reds. Boston had gotten into the World Series, I think, in around 86. They were okay, but the Yankee teams weren't dominant until all those other guys had left the team. As far as New York Football Giants, it's the same thing. I became a fan around the late 80s, right after the first Super Bowl, like 88. I was a young kid at the time. I remember the Flipper Anderson game. Oh man, it was bad. That was a bad memory, but
that hurt.
The worst game out of the – I know that we mentioned the DeSean Jackson game, the miracle at the middle end game one in 2010. That stung. I mean the loyalty, one game's not going to change your loyalty, but it was definitely the 2002 NFC wild card game versus the 49ers. We were up 38-14.
Please don't go into that. Don't mention that. That's my stunner.
Anyway, but if we're talking era as far as the New York Football Giants, I would say the mid-90s teams, because, as a Giants fan, you naturally hate the team with the star. We're not going to mention no names. You naturally hate that team, that franchise, because at that time, they were running stuff in the mid-90s. They were running back-to-backs. They were buying every player. And you can't knock it, because at the time, that was the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. And it's kind of hypocritical to say they were buying players, but your baseball team does the same thing, so I can't knock it.
Okay, but I'm going to pause you on that note right there. That's a great basis of our conversation tonight. that particular team that you're talking about back-to-backs with great coaching, well, they were great all the way around. Let's admit it. Probably special teams, probably their weakness. That was about it, and that didn't matter. They were great everywhere. But here's the thing. When they were great, and this really bothers me, and this goes right to the soul of what we're talking about tonight, at first of our three-parter or whatever. Here's the problem. Their fandom their so-called diehard loyal fans, the people that was down with them, saying that I've been a whatchamacallit fan forever and a day, those same folks were nowhere to be seen 4 years earlier. Not
nope.
a soul. It was
nope.
nothing but dust on there. They you couldn't find one. You the ones that used to be fans were like, I don't know, you know, nah, I'm not with that no more. Nah.
You quiz those
got a little,
fans, but
little
you know
Landry.
What? You quiz those fans, Chris. That's how you test a loyal fan. You quiz them. You pull them to the side, like, hey man, you know, who was the quarterback? What was his number in
mm-hmm.
for that team?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to mention no names.
We can't.
He's got to answer that, or she's got to answer that. You know, there's no gender discrimination on a loyal fan, male or female. We discussed that on the other podcast. You can listen to it, but go ahead.
The answer I got though, was who cares, man? He wasn't winning anyway.
Oh hell no, that's not a valid answer. You know.
See, that right there disqualifies you.
Yep.
That means you wasn't really down. That means you're not a loyal fan of your team. Don't be on their jock now because they're doing fantastic things in the end zone and they're kicking everybody's butts in Super Bowls. Where were you at 1-15?
Where are you? Exactly.
You know, they were not there. In fact, there was no – well, this is a little bit before the Jersey explosions and all that kind of stuff. But still, they didn't tune in. They weren't in the stadium. You know, I can point – I can give you – who was that? No, you went – you were you. It was you. It was you. You went to Jacksonville game this past year, and you saw a lot of the fans from New York there.
Oh yeah, I've been to a lot of games. I can't
sure.
remember. I lost so many games over the years, win, lose, or draw. But
yeah,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
But,
your point.
But you had some Jacksonville fans there that are like, hey, this is my team, and I'm not
yeah.
giving up on them. I know
yeah.
they're not as good as anyone else, but what's that got to do with anything? I'm mm-hmm. living or dying here. That's why I have so much love for Cubs fans. Because they are there every year. They're there every year. They know they suck. They know they're not going to be any good. They know they don't have any pitching. They know their best
oh,
hitter
man.
is on IR. They know that. But what happens? What do? They pool their resources, buy season tickets. They go out and have the best time they can out in those bleachers. They cheer loudly. They get drunk because you got to admit, you know, that's a little bit of a different kind of team because, see, the star out there is Wrigley Field, not the Cubs. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's
do this real quick because I know we're running out of time on this podcast. Well, I got
okay.
one last question. We'll carry it over to on the trilogy when we do this thing, and we'll end it here.
Okay.
I'll ask you this, and this
okay.
is your opinion because you've been around. You can't fool you. If it don't smell right, it ain't right, right? So each professional sport, all right, whether it's, you know, team sports. We're talking team sports, no
mm-hmm.
individual sports.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Major League Baseball, NHL,
mm-hmm.
NBA, NFL. In each sport, each league, who has the most loyal
mm-hmm.
fans? I think you started with Major League Baseball. Who would you say outside? Let's keep our teams out of the picking or
okay,
the team. Right. Let's be objective. Which fans in Major League Baseball have the most loyal fans? Not picking our own team.
The Boston Red Sox fans are the most loyal ever.
Over the Cubs.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. Why is that for your answer? Yes, it's not right or wrong.
It's
your opinion.
A shrine. It's a shrine. It's like going to church. It's like attending the temple religiously every night. Win, lose, or draw, they are there. They are passionate. They yell, they scream, they're obnoxious, they're disgusting sometimes. I love the night I was there, which was it was the night they were saluting the Tuskegee Airmen, and the old man who had been a season ticket holder for the last 40 years sitting behind me. It was a game. It was the Red Sox against Baltimore, and they had some kid that batted 198. Baltimore, the bases were loaded, and the Orioles had some kid that batted 198, not a really big kid. I guess he was a reserve infielder or something. He came up, and he had a grand slam. And I remember the old man behind me going, this meeting is not well planned. Gentlemen, regroup. And that guy, it was epitomized what it was to be a real fan. I'm not mad at you. Correct it. It's basically what he said. And he lost anyway, but that wasn't it. The point was, he was a Boston Red Sox fan. He's here to see his team perform. There's millions of them like guys like that. But, you know, there's a lot of fanships. There's a lot of teams in different areas throughout the United States, professional sports regardless. But those fans there in Major League Baseball are arguably most passionate. I don't think Fenway Park has had a non-sellout probably since I was born.
Yeah,
I'm
55. I'm gonna touch on that on the next one. If I had to make a pick, I can see you saying the Red Sox, and I understand why. And I'm with you. I might have to throw in the Cubs, man. I've never, since I've been watching baseball, they pack that place out too, and they've had some terrible teams.
Yes, they do. That would be my second calling. But no, trust me, it would be them.
What about
and
NBA?
If it was.
What about the NBA? Oh, go finish your point, then we ask you the NBA. What about? Go
no, that's my point. That's cool enough. On the other side of the spectrum, Tampa's the least, but that's not their fault. Okay, that's the end of that.
Oh,
yeah, that's not their fault. Okay, NBA.
Yeah, outside of our own fans. I pick our own team.
Outside of our own fans, the NBA's most passionate fans will probably, I'm going to surprise you with this a little bit.
I don't think you will. I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
It's the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think I'm going to be with you on that one. But why the Lakers for you, though?
They've been, well, first of all, that franchise has been successful longer than it hasn't been successful over the course of my lifetime. You know, I mean, and they keep, and look what they keep doing. Look what they keep doing. You can bring it all the way back to Minneapolis Lakers way before, you know, when our parents were kids. They won 5 there. They moved out to L.A. to get to L.A. Sunshine, and they kept getting their butt beat by Boston, who I would have also chosen. They're not – in recent years, their fanship has disappeared in recent years.
Yeah, they sure
you know
have.
That.
They sure have.
You know, and my second best pick – Behind the Lakers would have probably been Spurs because they show up every night, but they don't have the legacy, you know. They don't have the legacy. The Lakers have been doing this for a long time, and even when they had down years in the early '90s, you know, after Magic, just when they just had Worthy, but before Shaq and Kobe, you know, that little period there.
Yeah.
You know, they showed up. They were there every night when they had players like Saddle 3 and Cedric Ceballos. They showed up. Nick Van Exel, they showed up. And they showed up in droves. And then you had the stars that showed up with them. You know?
Yeah.
So
yep.
It was
they turned it
base,
into entertainment at that point.
Exactly. Which helps. Because, you know, your favorite stars, he's doing a movie in L.A., you know he's going to be the Laker gang. You know, the first time Rihanna showed you that she was in love with Chris Brown, again, they were at the Laker game. We got to promote a movie. You're at the Laker game. Jennifer Aniston don't know nothing about basketball, but she was at the Laker game. You know, so it's their fan base is the most loyal. I'm not gonna say they're the best loyal, the loyal. You see what I'm saying?
I totally understand. I totally understand. Based off how we broke it down, I totally understand where you're coming from. Now. I will say I'm with you. I may have to agree with that. The only thing I have an issue with them, because since I've known them and since I've studied them over the decades, they've always had a winner. They've always been winning ever since I can remember,
right.
Except for this era. This era, their loyalty is actually being tested now with their, you know, how bad they've been. And plus, they share not only a city with a professional team in the same sport, but an arena. So, and I say, you know, with the team, the Clippers, as much as new Clipper fans have come out of the hiding or bandwagon, per se, the Lakers, and if we're talking inside the NBA, because I think the Knicks is the most loyal, hands down, in the NBA. Hands down.
They are.
But yeah, if we're not picking my own team, I would probably say the Lakers. But the only thing that I say about them is because they've won, they've always won 50, 60, 70s, 80s. I mean, they always there. So it's easy to win. It's easy to be loyal when they're winning. So that's the only asterisk I have. But I have another team in mind. I don't think you would ever guess it, though. Won't you take a wild guess on what I think is a dark horse? Take a guess.
Okay, somebody that we haven't mentioned already?
We haven't mentioned.
Dark horse?
You haven't mentioned.
Oh, okay, let me just get this in. Let me get this in. It's just a statement.
It's tricky
for
me.
But I'm not going to use it. Okay, but let me get this, this statement in. Miami has the lease. Okay, done. Okay, now, a dark horse for you?
Dark horse.
Oh, say again?
Yeah, dark horse. They may not
a dark
be,
horse?
They may not be number one, but they got to be. They might be a sleeper top three, top five. And I'll explain why if you guess it right.
Okay. you just threw me on that one. Okay. I would say maybe Oklahoma.
No.
Who?
That team inherited a winner, but no, I wouldn't put them. Yeah. They're still, well, to me, they're still fresh, you know?
Right.
They haven't gone through anything. See, that's the thing about loyalty. You have to actually gone through something. I'll tell you. It may shock you. You may not even agree with this. Charlotte Hornets. And I'll tell you why.
They're an expansion team, man.
But they've been in existence. No. Well,
I mean, no. Bobcats are the expansion. Okay. Yeah,
well,
I know what you're saying.
It gets a little tricky because the way that has been ran with the ownership and moving. I mean, when you have a team, remember they used to play in that old Coliseum down in Charlotte. The teams with Mike Jaminski.
Wait a minute, are you talking about the Bobcats? Or are you talking about the New Orleans Pelicans?
No, see, that's where it gets tricky, Chris, because it's like we're talking about fans from that city where they used to pack. Remember, they used to have the most sellouts. For like almost a decade.
They used to play in the old hive,
you know, with the Jaminski teams. That's when, what's his name? Kurt Rambis from the Lakers went over there for J.R. Reed, Muggsy Bowles, and then when they drafted, they got, I think, I can't remember if it was Larry Johnson first and then Alonzo. However they did, they used to pack that place out. And then they were winning. I mean, they were winning, and they were fresh at the time. So their loyalty got challenged when the ownership decided to up and bounce to go to New Orleans because the city would have given them a new arena. But for the fact they brought that team back as in pretty much they became the Bobcats, which it was an expansion, but they were so loyal to the Hornets, the team name. They changed the name, Chris.
Yeah, but you gotta put an asterisk on them.
I agree.
Because they don't have, and it's not their fault they get the asterisks.
I know,
because they
have out of control.
Right.
Are Hornets fans really Pelican fans if you're following the team?
No. They don't have that kind of legacy, man. I was like, look, Charlotte, look, how old is that team anyway? Maybe 25 seasons?
It's really hard because technically the Hornets is really the Pelicans.
Right. So that's how old are they? 25?
Yeah, they're 87, 88, something like that.
Okay, 88. So you're looking at 25, 26 years. All right. The Bobcats, who I'm sure a lot of because the Pelicans were so new when they left Charlotte, the Bobcats fans are probably old
Hornets
fans.
I agree.
Thank you.
So when the team comes back. Are you unloyal because the team comes back and they change the name back to the original team that you
that's an NBA thing. No, you're not.
Huh?
No, you're not. I'm going to answer that for you right now. No.
Okay.
I'm going to cut you off and answer that. No, you are not. That's not your fault. You got to expand the team. Now, let me tell you something. If the Charlotte Hornets that are in New Orleans right now were still in Charlotte, okay, and let's say they got Anthony Davis and they got lucky enough to get somebody else. And, well, they'd have some hardcore, loyal Charlotte fans. But their team got taken from them. So it's a little bit different.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
It is.
It's a little
That's why
different.
I put an asterisk. I know how the fans get down there because it's a huge basketball state. So they love their basketball down
course.
There in North Carolina. But that's that. We'll discuss that on the future one. What about NFL? And then we'll wrap it up after with the NHL. But what about NFL? Who outside of our team? Bias. Pick an NFL team.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one, and I'm going to throw a curve at you with this one. It's a team that doesn't play. This is a tricky one. I know who my answer is.
Okay.
I know who my
you
answer
want me to guess
is, but you got
to
work.
You want me to guess or you want me to play?
I don't want you to guess it. I just want you to work with me in this.
Okay,
now,
fair.
This is a little bit different. This is a little bit different, but it's somewhat similar to what you just was talking about with Charlotte. Now, the Cleveland fans were God Almighty, down by law, totally knowledgeable, totally dedicated, completely immersed in the love of that franchise for years.
It's almost
when
identical.
They were one when they were two, they would be 2-14,
yep.
And there would be a line, or you wouldn't have, they'd sell out. What I mean, that's you got to remember for a long time, Browns, Cleveland Browns, the original Cleveland Browns that are in Baltimore now.
Yep, same thing.
The Browns tickets, Browns had the fastest selling season ticket holders forever, forever, maybe 25 years.
Yep.
You know, they had to. I mean, it was like that was the only game in town. You know, they wasn't buying Indians tickets. Besides, it was a different season. But you also got to remember, Ohio is a football town. From parochial school all the way up.
Yep.
You know, and then when Cincinnati came around in 69, that even made it heat hotter because the Cleveland Browns were built by the guy that they're named after, Paul Brown.
Yep,
and
Paul
when he
Brown,
got
yep.
kicked off that team, he got kicked off that team, about five seasons later, he started the Cincinnati Bengals. So there was already an intra-hatred. So that was really heated, and their fans, the Hogs, and all of them, they were really – really, really immersed in the love of that team, and they were so. Put it this way, they're the only franchise I know in any sport that so much loved their team, win, lose, draw, don't give a shit.
Yep.
So much immersed in it that the NFL had to get another team over there immediately.
It's kind
they
of like
had to get
my,
team.
Almost like my Charlotte example. But Seth, yours is more valid because Cleveland's been around longer.
Right.
Know?
So when Odell moved him, and also from a business, the business guy in me understands why he did, but the casual football fan don't want to hear that shit from owners. They want to see a team on the field. So they stayed loyal, and they were without one for, I think, four seasons maybe?
Yeah, they left in, like, 95, and they got back in 99.
Okay, four seasons. And they had to, and Pat LeBlanc was the commissioner, and he said, I need an ownership group now. Because these fans are killed. They killed the league office with letters and protests and everything. Like, hey, we want our team back. They came to New York.
right on Park Ave,
All in Brown shit talk about, we want our team. We want our team. He bring the Ravens back. And the Ravens, and Pat LeBlanc said, tell you what, we're going to get another, y'all going to get another one. And they did. And
they
went back there and look at them. And look at them. They haven't won a damn thing. They had some terrible ownership, bad decisions the last 4 or 5 years,
General Manager,
and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But you know what? The fans always show up.
Loyalty, man.
They are
loyalty.
Always there. There's your most loyal fans. I'm not going to put a second place there.
I can't even go against it. I was going to say somebody else. I was going to mention the Green Bay Packers. But
Wait a minute. No. That's legitimate. That's legit. Hold it. Wait a minute.
Okay.
You know what you're gonna have to do? You know what you have to do? You have to tie them. You can't do a 1-1A, and you can't do a 1-2. You have to tie those guys. You got to tie them because they have two different reasons. I think the Browns since 1950 are the most freaking loyal fans ever because of the circumstances. But hold on a minute. The Green Bay Packers haven't had a non-sellout. Are you ready for this? I'm gonna floor you with the stats.
With the
and
war,
you
right?
It all you
probably like
want.
Cold War.
They haven't had a non-sellout since 1952,
That's crazy.
And that's only because it was a whiteout and they couldn't get rid of the snow. There was a blizzard before that, the night before that game. But here's the thing: the error I like to point at, which with great pride, is the early '80s Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. No. Let's go back. Let me get further than that. The late '70s Green Bay Packers, because them motherfuckers were horrible. But guess what? Look at their fan base.
Yeah.
Of course, somebody's going to argue, well, you know, hey, there's nothing else to do in Green Bay. Hey, their fans showed up, and their fans own the team.
That town actually is – the fans actually come from all over the state, that region, even in Minnesota. Right. Milwaukee's mm-hmm. about a good two-hour drive. It's not like mm-hmm. – you know, Green Bay is a small town, about 100,000 people, whatever. But fans mm-hmm. come from all over that state. They'll come all over the country. Go see them play.
Right.
Isn't it true, like, they got, like, a waiting list of, like, 30 years to be on a season ticket plan?
You're not going to get on that. Put it this way. Me and you right now, to get on the season ticket list, we can go to the game. And see, here's the thing. They don't have any boxes. They have luxury boxes or nothing. We can go to the game and try to buy a ticket. But let me tell you something. They ain't going to be good seats.
Nope.
Unless we press. Because that whole town shuts the fuck down.
Yes.
They shut that it's and what Lombardi did to them in that era, if you ever do your research, and I'll give it to you another time, but dude, when that happened, the whole state was electrified.
Yes.
And that's unusual for football. And he must have, and that's another thing. And that's what makes you have a long lasting legacy of loyal fans. I'm pretty sure the 1962 Green Bay Packers had mm-hmm. possibly about 13 Hall of Famers on it.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, and I'm not going to go into coaching, which is a loyal fan show. But the funny thing is, after Forrest Gregg, who was an offensive tackle, and Herb Atley, who was a great defensive back, the rest of those guys needed Lombardi to get in the Hall of Fame. Those guys wasn't going to be anything anywhere else. But
yes.
What happens is, that beauty, that the loyalty that they showed them in, translated into championships and titles and then eventually legacies. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers are probably – they got to be the most loyal fans in the NFL, but you got to tie them completely with Cleveland. You can't
yeah. –
there's not one better than the other. It's not – you'd be here for hours trying to just – you try to
only
dissect
be one
it
winner.
Because,
I'm just kidding.
There should be. But hey, you know, it's like boxing used to be when it was great. You know, you had to have an undisputed champion. Meaning, because there was a lot of alphabet soup: the WBC, WBA, the IBF. You know, you're like, wait a minute, who the hell is the IBF? You know, you didn't care about that stuff. You know, just like fans don't care about salary caps, and they don't care about owners, and they don't care about collective bargaining agreements. What they want to do is they want to show
loyalty
to support
show loyalty,
love, and be loyal
yes.
to their fanship.
That's
and
why.
So there you go.
That's why, in passing, a New York Giants fan can respect a Packers fan in passing. It's kind of like they have
absolutely.
The same mentality of how they treat
absolutely.
Folks.
Absolutely. There's a certain thing, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, Bram. There's a, and I'm sorry, I'm going to take it home. There's a certain thing that we do here. We, like, for instance, right now, you know, it's the free agency, as we speak today, there's the free agency thing going on in the NFL. And it's like the 11th of March, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, wheeling and dealing going on. And the Giants are part of that, but They don't do it in a big, wild fashion. They do it little by little, quietly. You put it together. And somebody will say, well, you know, criticize the judge the Giants' ownership. They say, they don't do much. Y'all don't sign anybody big. Y'all don't make a big splash. But then you look back, and the natural thing for you to do as a sports team is to look back and say, well, damn, when's the last time y'all won an – oh. Maybe this is the right way to do things. Because, you know, you can't say nothing. You can't argue that.
Yeah.
So going back to my original question, I mean, original answer of the question that you asked me from Jump Street. My team is the New York Giants. I happen to be a Giants fan. I'm a Knicks fan first, but there's two different kind of loves here. I'm a Knicks fan because I grew up loving them, so I'm loyal to them in that aspect. But I'm a Giants fan because the Giants fan is that baby, son, car that no matter how upset you seem to get with them, no matter how much they test your spirit and your loyalty, no matter how much times and tribulations get crazy, you love them to the day you disperse, and probably after that too. That's my team. And when you talk about loyalty, I don't have any other jerseys in this house. You ain't going to see nothing else on these walls. You ain't going to see nothing else, but it starts with the blue and it ends with the blue. And thank
amen.
Goodness that New York Knicks have wear blue too, boy. I think the world is trouble.
Amen. Final question is, you can just give me just name one team, since we did three of the four. Outside of the Rangers, I would say probably the Canadiens. Oh, they're sick up there, man. As far as
an
NHL
team.
Yeah.
Oh, in hockey? Hockey fanship is better than anybody else's. They stay with it. Well, it's weird because they keep moving franchises the last 20 years. There are a lot of people. But if you want to be honest.
Pick one, yeah.
I have to pick the Montreal Canadiens.
I'm with you on that. The Canadiens.
You have to start
with an original six. That's why it had to be one of those six.
You start with Maurice Rocket, Richard. You go to the Guy Lafleur years. Man, look, let me tell you something. That you talk about fanship.
Yeah. They're the only game in town.
I don't even. Yeah, but first of all, they don't live in this country. Secondly. You know, they must have at least 24 championships. I don't even know how many they have.
You're about right. They're behind the Yankees, though. They're about four or five behind the Yankees. Yep.
How can you not be a fan of that? That's incredible. That's stupid. That's some sick shit right there. You get the 20s in championships, man.
And they haven't won in what, 23 years?
Yeah, something like that.
24 years?
Wait a minute. The Florida? No. Who's the last star that they had? Larry? No. Who's the last star for the last big star during that championship year? And that wasn't an easy year for them either.
Mm-hmm.
That was they got tested by
James Gretzky.
I thought it was Lemieux that tested them. Okay.
Oh yeah, they had their wars with Lemieux and Yager and them. They had to go through LA. They had to go through the Gretzky team that was actually achieving at the time. We're pretty much out of time on this podcast. Thanks for listening to the loyal fan. And we gotta do more of this, man. Gotta bring more.
Oh, shoot. No doubt, man. It ain't going nowhere. We're here all the time. What happens is we bleed blue, which means you're going to hear it. If you're not a Ranger, if you're not a Yankee, if you're not a Knick, and if you're not a Giant, I'm sorry, but you're going to hear it from us because we bleed blue all day long, baby.
And as much as we bleed blue, we are the forum for the fans. So if you are a loyal fan of whatever team you do or listen to, this is the platform for you, the fan. That's what we do.
This
we rep the fan, the loyal fan, at minimum.
There you go. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. I bid you a good night, my partner.
Yes, sir.
And we got to do this again. Real soon.
Can't wait, man. Bart Scott right, was can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Bleed blue, man.
Can you dig it? Bleed blue. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue. Bleed blue.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.